All righty. It is indeed time for the Global Threat Report. That's right, Global Threat Solutions, ladies and gentlemen, with Captain Ken Bombace. What is Global Threat Solutions? 100% military veteran-owned security investigations firm. Global headquarters are right here on Long Island in Suffolk County, you know, with offices in and around New York, Miami, L.A., overseas Frankfurt, and Mumbai. You can check it all out on the website. It provides so much. GlobalThreatSolutions.com. You can make a phone call at 646-946-6649. The aforementioned Captain Ken Bombace. Sir, how are you on this Wednesday morning?
Doing well, Jay. Doing well. Glad to be on this morning. Lots to
good
talk
having
about.
You. A lot to cover. Let's get right to it. Let's start with the hurricane, Cap. You know, Ian, all the damage and everything else could cost, you know, anywhere $50, $60 billion in that range, but a lot of looting going on, apparently. A lot of looting, unfortunately. People stealing gas from generators, generators themselves, generators that are set up, you know, as far as the traffic stuff. Important stuff there. That's not going to be tolerated. Zero tolerance down there for this stuff. But, you know, with all these natural disasters, I mean, natural disaster like this with this storm, now you got looting. And that's something else that police have to be on the lookout for.
Yeah. You know, it's Florida's a different state than New York, and they have a stand your ground law. It was passed in 2005. You know, that basically allows people to meet force with force in Florida. And similarly, they have a castle doctrine where they don't have to retreat from their home either if it's attacked. So, and you were listening to the governor himself, plus sheriffs in many counties are now warning people about looting and what the repercussions will be if they do that. So, you know, I don't think we've seen a natural disaster where looting's not an issue, but they're trying to mitigate that right now. And there's been some really bad stories. I think there was four people arrested I saw a news story about, and they were here illegally.
Yep.
And they're talking, of course, about charging them, but also that removing them from the country.
Yep. Big problem right now. Huge problem. You don't need this with all people who have lost everything. These are tough storylines, without question. But you know what? It is what it is right now. I want to get into the fentanyl aspect. I had a heated discussion yesterday. We got a lot of migrants. We know what's happening in our city as far as what's being set up with those tents and everything else. The mayor has now kind of shifted attention to another area here. Big problem. Fentanyl's a massive problem here, Captain. Now you got the colored fentanyl coming in. You know, they look like candy. It was discovered, I think, 15,000 pills in a Lego container that was seized. You know, enough. Listen, we've lost 100,000 Americans to fentanyl, 300 a day. Think about that. 300 a day, folks. That's as I kind of correlated. Yes, that's like a plane crash. 300 people a day are dying, okay? And we know where it's coming from. It's coming from, you know, the border. It's coming in through China, Mexico, and here it comes. These cartels are raking in billions and billions of dollars. They're the ones who are making out on this. So. And no end in sight. Massive crisis. Nobody's really addressing it properly. No one wants to recognize it properly for obvious reasons. But in essence, the amount of fentanyl coming into this country is astronomical.
That's right. And listen, the war on drugs in America is always a challenge, right? We're always trying to mitigate. But there's one thing for sure that I think everyone accepts, and that's by securing the border, we're going to protect ourselves against these massive shipments coming into this country. Jay, we've all heard these horrific stories of these shipments coming that could kill like every American many times. You know, that's how deadly this stuff is. And there's a couple things to look at here. Cartels operating to try and profit from this and ship them across the border. But I think anytime that China is involved or we have this product coming from China, you have to look even deeper into that. And when you have fentanyl being a leading cause of death between people 18 and 45 in America, that you have to think about that as a possible weaponization. I mean, think of what you just told me, right? 300 people a day. If they were killing people in another way, a more direct way, 300 a day, we would call that an act of war, right? But right now, we're not doing much about it. The border is wide open, and whether it's coming from China or Mexico, Central America, it's coming through the southern border. We know that much in large amounts. And you know, we're only hearing the stories of the ones that we catch, the people that we actually catch and we seize. Now, God knows how much is coming through that we don't know about, and I think it's going to play in the midterms too, as part of the ongoing border crisis. Fentanyl, I think, is on everybody's mind right now. This is scary stuff, the potency that it has, and also, again, the China link to me, I see that as something even a little bit more sinister.
You know, it's as if maybe we should shift attention to treating cartels as terrorist organizations, Cap. I mean, really, that's what it's come up. Because it's about the security of the nation right now, protecting Americans, protecting kids. And these are targeting kids, folks. Okay? Listen, we saw what happened years ago in the vaping industry, right? When you had all the flavors and everything else with the vape, and, you know, we shut down a lot of that stuff because it was targeting children. You know, we got to do the same thing here, but in a very strict, more strict fashion. You know, it's almost as if we have to declare war on the cartels. I mean, they are terrorist organizations, in my estimation. And you look at the number of gotaways right now, okay? You got almost 1 million down there, okay, in the border. You look at the encounters that we're going to have by year's end. We're going to shatter the old record, right? We're going to have nearly 4 million folks encounters, border encounters. You have 29,000 agents. You can't possibly vet. And this is where I had a discussion yesterday. And it became back and forth. Because it's not about being a good humanitarian and everything else, allowing people to have a better way in this country. It's about protecting Americans right now. Because we can't keep track. We don't know who's coming in. We don't know where they're going. You know, yeah. And that's the biggest problem here. We don't know. We don't have an idea the amount of terrorists that have been caught and those who have entered this country. It's a very scary thought process right now.
It is. And I'll tell you, Jay, just the numbers flowing over the border, we've been over these numbers, I could think by a year's end, going to be like 6 or 7 times the population of Washington, D.C. These numbers are astonishing. And as far as the fentanyl, I mean, where's our we have no strategy right now. We are just, all we're doing is reacting, and we're reacting poorly, too. We're not even reacting effectively. Look what we did when we saw COVID as a threat. Look at all what was done, what was mobilized in this country. We're doing nothing for fentanyl, nothing. And it could get to a position where it's going to be very hard to respond to this. There'll be so much here, so much within this country. Right now, I think some really, we have to look at it as a national security issue. And the border itself has to be a major national security issue. And I'll tell you, the polls are showing that, Jay. You know, I know a few months ago we saw that that the abortion issue was going to play a big part in the midterms. But if you look at recent polls, they're showing that that's like fourth down in the list. And you're seeing the economy, you're seeing crime and the border ranked very highly in people's concerns right now in America. And I think that's going to play a part in this. And specifically as part of the border crisis, fentanyl. People are afraid of this, and I think it's only going to get worse. I think we're not even getting the full story. I think those numbers are going to be inflated. We're going to see higher numbers as far as the deaths and how much product is getting into this country, and something's going to have to be done. I think it's going to play a big part in the midterm elections.
Without question. And, you know, listen, midterms are 34 days out. It's going to be a big, big factor here, massive factor. With all that's going on here. Now you got the colored fentanyl. I mean, come on. I mean, that's where it stops. You know, that's where, you know, you cross the line. That's where the United States has to get tough. I'm sorry. You got to get tough on these cartels, without question. The captain with us, Ken Bombace. All right, let's shift attention to overseas as far as Vladimir Putin is concerned, where he has signed into law cap measures that claim to annex 4 Ukrainian regions into the Russian Federation. That's a violation, by the way, of international law. So a lot of the Western leaders have said or have claimed these annexations of these 4 territories are the result of what they call sham referendums and will never be recognized. And it comes as Moscow now is losing territory to Ukraine's military. And that's by the day, Cap. So this is something that, you know, you got to watch. We heard about this. And here we go.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, well, you see Vladimir Putin, he's done this sham referendum. He's annexed, according to him, these certain regions of Ukraine as now Russian territory. However, as we say this, Ukraine is still pushing strongly with this counteroffensive in the east and the south. And they're actually taking parts of those annexed territories back as we speak. So you know, President Zelensky is not even recognizing these referendums and pushing hard. Their strategy is to take back all of Ukraine, every square inch of it. So, I think Vladimir Putin's got some bigger issues to deal with right now. I know he just launched this referendum, but this mobilization is not going well. I think so far he has about 200,000 people he's mobilized, but there's a lot of concerns with that. One of them is he's mobilized some people that weren't even supposed to be mobilized, and now they're apologizing and, like, returning these people to these villages. And then on another note, he's got to make a decision. You know, does he want to flood Ukraine with these new recruits, these untrained recruits, and risk them not being prepared for war and even further embarrassment and further defeat? Or does he want to hold on and try and train these people properly and next year deploy them? But by that time, President Zelensky may have moved so far in Ukraine that he's going to have a really tough time regaining that territory, at least conventionally. You know, of course, there's the ongoing threat of the use of nuclear weapons. And as of right now, our administration in the U.S. is saying there's been no signs of any activity of their nuclear forces in Russia, and that they're monitoring that. But as of right now, I think Vladimir Putin's biggest problems are going to be domestically. I've said this a long time. That's where the answer to the Vladimir Putin problem is probably going to end up coming from, is within his own country. And I think he's going to, you know, a lot of people are speculating this could be the beginning of the end, because you see people fleeing his country to avoid mobilization. You see a disaster with mobilization. People aren't supporting this. And I think he's got a lot of problems right now, Jeff.
Losing this war. I mean, the United States is continuing its aid, $16 billion plus to Ukraine, helping the cause. You know, right now, Putin's in a tough deal. You know, he's trying to, involve some of these 300,000 or so reservists from being put into play, kind of a partial mobilization ordered by him last month. You know, he's in a tough spot. And meanwhile, Ukraine has not backed down one iota. And you wonder right now, it's almost like a last ditch effort by this guy. What does he do? Does he fire? I mean, listen, he's capable of firing off a nuclear weapon. The question is, will he? You know, it seems to be almost a last resort to make one last stand, you know? We saw the missiles back and forth at the power plant, the nuclear plant, and everything else. You know, at what point do we actually think, you know, based on what's happening, Ukraine is fighting like crazy. You know, I mean, we have talked about this for the last, you know, since February 24th, when this whole invasion began. You know, they have stood tall and everything else, the genocide and all that's going on, missiles into those maternity wards. And listen, they have not backed down one iota, but you got to wonder about the Putin mindset now as far as a nuclear weapon here, Cap.
Yeah, you do. And I'll tell you, Jay, I think that one thing's for sure, if he were to go that route, that is, in one way or another, that's the end of Vladimir Putin if he does that. And I think he knows that. I think he's calculating enough to understand that. What now we just saw was a Russian diplomat is warning the U.S. and NATO. They're saying that basically this continued assistance and flooding weapons into Ukraine, all we're doing is prolonging this war and also increasing the chances of a direct conflict between Russia and NATO. They keep warning. And you wonder if that's a strategy. If he's failing so desperately in Ukraine, if he wants to try and to expand this to make this more of a conflict between Russia and NATO, to save face, to possibly get support from their allies and the few that they have remaining. You wonder if that's a strategy of theirs at this point, because I would say conventionally, I don't think there's regaining a ground in Ukraine right now for Russia. These troops that they're mobilizing, their heart is not into this. They're not trained properly. And every day, President Zelensky is taking new ground, more ground. And plus, it is a big part of this. You know, the Ukrainian military is much higher, better trained than most people thought they were. Plus, the U.S. and our in the West support, it really has made a difference. I mean, all of the weapon systems and funding we have given them, they would not be where they are right now without that. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. But the way things are now, I don't see Russia regaining ground that they've lost, not where they were before.
Assault and the planes and everything else. What's the latest there? We turned down the MiGs from Poland way back, as we know, but what's the latest currently there?
Yeah, I've heard no new talk of sending direct fighter aircraft in. It's one of the things this Russian diplomat warned of, was every day they say it's getting closer and closer to there being actual NATO or U.S. fighters. They say we have advisors there working closely with Ukraine, and they're trying to warn against this, saying that we need to back off, and that's going to expand this conflict to NATO and at a minimum prolong this, so there'll be much more death. And like their idea, or what they're trying to state, is that they're ultimately, it's inevitable Russia's winning this, we're just prolonging it. But they're also warning of a direct clash with us. They've been doing that since the beginning. And I think our strategy right now, Jay, has to be continue to be exactly what it's been for the last several months. Continue to support Ukraine, the West, U.S., and I know this is costing. This is expensive. And we're also, some of these Western allies, Jay, their weapons, their ammunition, and their weapon systems, they're running low because they're providing so many for this. But we have to remember, this is not just a war with Ukraine and Russia. The result of this conflict is going to have tremendous effects across the globe. China, all these countries, and North Korea that are watching. We just saw what happened with North Korea right now. If for some reason we were allowed Russia to have a major success in Ukraine, it's going to change the way things are going forward, and the chances that we could see action like that with China and other countries. So I think it's critical. We just have to stay the course, keep supporting them, fund them, and make sure that they have a victory in Ukraine.
We'll say otherwise, you know, saying, listen, how much is enough? You know, $16 billion and everything else. You know, you look at, and certainly a contributor to the inflation in this country, without question, just, you know, spending. But you have to. This particular case, this is money well spent. You have to. Ramifications and everything. Can you imagine if you did not give these protections to Ukraine? Where would we be, right? Where would the world be? You know, and that's why, to me, it was so important to fund. I can't challenge the United States for doing that. I can't. That was a necessity. With all that's going on, you know, you look at North Korea, you bring up with Kim firing off missiles into Japan. You got protests happening in Iran. You know, right now, Xi's watching everything very closely in China. You know, you've got these aspects that you have to, you know, put in play here. But, you know, Kim's going at it with his missiles. You know, he's playing with his toys, firing missiles into Japan and everything else. You know, you wonder if any type of reaction will be in play from the White House, Cap.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the White House put out a statement condemning it, of course, like we always do. That, you know, doesn't really carry too much water. But what we did see here is an intermediate-range ballistic missile, not an ICBM, but an IRBM. And this is one we believe that North Korea has been unveiled in 2017 and has done missile tests before. But it's been years since they've done this, where they've launched a missile just like this right over Japan. Japan was actually in an alert phase. They had people, you know, taking shelter because of this. There's some speculation, and it's I think, pretty accurate speculation, that I think on September 23rd, the U.S. had a aircraft carrier for the first time in years do a port of call in South Korea. And since that time, North Korea has done 5 missile tests. So I think it's obviously in relation, direct relation to us and our activity over there. But I think this would need to happen, Jay. I've been talking about this since we first came on to talk about Ukraine months ago. And I think that what we're going to see going forward now is these regional alliances. And that's what we need to be working on and building right now. Our State Department, our diplomats, we need to be working on these regional alliances. That's what you're going to see in the future. We have NATO, and I think they will be getting stronger. They already have, I think. They've kind of woken up. And we're going to need them in Europe, but we need to have these smaller regional alliances to keep these regions safe. Right now, South Korea and the U.S. are doing military operations over there as a show of force. And I think this is what we need to do, is build these alliances and be able to resist, you know, China. Right now, we're dealing with North Korea, but we also have China threatening Taiwan and the U.S. And we need to be able to have a show of force over there, and it can't just be the U.S. going it alone. We need to have our allies over there, who, by the way, in that region, have more to lose than we do. So I think that should be our strategy going forward. Man,
CAP.
Smaller, effective regional alliances.
Yeah. We're talking about the CAP, of course, Captain Ken Bombay's global threat. What was Japan doing when these missiles were going in and around their country? I mean, are they firing off their own to try and knock these things out? We didn't get any reports of that, did we?
No, I didn't see anything. I'm not even sure that they have, for this type of a missile, that they have the capability to do that. I'm pretty sure they don't. I know all the response that I saw was that they were taking shelter and taking responses if it was an actual attack, which is kind of a test for them. But also, I think it's right now what we should be watching is Japan, South Korea, the U.S. all conducting heavy military operations in that region as a show of force, and let them know that we're not going to, just because he fires a few missiles, that we're not going to back down from this, and we're prepared to respond if he were ever to launch a real attack.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about right now. But I'll tell you, it's getting dicey out there as far as everything going in and around is Russia and Ukraine. One last thing, my friend, the situation in Central California. And I know you're following this regarding the shooting deaths of six men, wounding of a woman. Could be the handiwork of a bold, very brazen serial killer who's been prowling the streets now for more than a year. So we haven't learned much. You know, you listen to the Stockton Police Department. They say ballistic tests have linked seven shootings that occurred, Captain, in Stockton and Oakland between April of last year and this month. And it was last week where authorities announced that five men have been ambushed, shot dead in the dark in recent months. Monday, police said two additional cases have now been linked to these killings. So tough times out there in Northern California. Do we know anything more?
No, I mean, it's an ongoing investigation, and they're going to keep it close to the vest unless it benefits them not to. Sometimes in these investigations into possible serial killers, they'll release information that they know the potential that the killer will see, as well as the public. There's two things. You have a public information campaign to, like, kind of warn people, hey, this is what's going on right now, take precautions. And the other thing is, if they strategically want to let out certain information to assist them in their investigation, you may see that. Another thing they always have the option of doing, and I'm not sure they've done this yet, would be to call in the request assistance from the FBI's Behavioral Sciences Unit, where they could come in and assist in a potential serial killer investigation just like this, which has proven effective around the country in many cases. Jay, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize, but this is one we're following now. But, you know, it's estimated that there's many serial killers operating at once any given time in America. This isn't the only one, for sure. This one has caught the media's attention right now, and hopefully we'll see some progress on that because of that. They're bringing resources to bear on this. Hopefully we hear something soon.
And it's crazy. None of the men murdered in Stockton was robbed, beaten, or appeared to have even known each other. But all these murders happened within a couple of miles of each other. You go back to July, and you go back to just, what, a week ago or so. So these shootings, they do not seem to be related to gangs or drugs. And police haven't ruled out that multiple people may have been involved in these shootings here. So wait and see, no question. Cap, good stuff. Lots on the plate. Global Threat Solutions.com, 646-946-6649. Until next time, my friend, you stay well.
You too, Jay. Thanks a lot.